out and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, now everybody will be happy. Will be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon the glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy over there. Mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers will be singing around the throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in that triumph song. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, amen. They say several of us having a pretty good time right here. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Isn't God good to us? Did we have a time here over the weekend? Did you enjoy the word of the Lord? Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, it's camp meeting every service. When you think it can't get no better, it gets a little bit better every time. It's going to get so good one of these services, somebody's going to be missing. I want to be among the missing, don't you? Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. Turn around, shake somebody's hand tonight, give them a nice smile. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord tonight. What a privilege it is. Let's sing some more of that, guys. We will hear nobody praying. And no mourning in that land, for no burdens there will be for us to bear. All the people will be singing, glory, glory. And sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. There we'll meet the one who saved us, and who's kept us by his grace, and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. We will praise his name forever as we look up. I'm sorry. Everybody will be happy over there. Sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer requests tonight. We've got several things we want to let you know about. Just a real treat and a real privilege
to get to be in the house of the Lord in it. Amen. I know you come tonight expecting something good, and I believe we're going to get it, don't you? Amen. Sister Rachel Hamlin says she would like to thank all of you for the lovely gift basket, the cards, and your prayers during my recent surgery. Praise the Lord, I received a good report from the doctor today, and all is well. So we praise the Lord for that, don't we? Amen. Here's a prayer request for Peyton White. Looks like he's going to have open heart surgery. And if I'm not mistaken, if that's the same little boy, and I don't know, I believe that's right. I hope I'm not saying something that isn't, but I believe that's Brother Bill Yance's grandson. No, that's his great-grandson, little Peyton. That's little Philip's little boy, isn't that right? So we certainly want to pray for that child, that the Lord would just bring him through that surgery, and hope I didn't get that, just didn't misspeak on that, but I believe that's who that is. So we just want to commit that child unto the Lord and ask God to be with him. Sister Estep says, please pray for, Sister Brenda Harmon says, please pray for my mother, Sister Estep. She's having trouble getting her thyroid medicine regulated, and it's making her feel real bad. So let's pray that all that would be taken care of. Sister Jaden, is this Harmon? I don't know if that's got that last name right or not. My friend Kaya, mother is sick, and she just asking that we would remember them in prayer, that the Lord would be mindful of her, that she could receive her healing. Sister Martha Ann sends this in to please pray for Sister Anna Altland and her family. Her mother passed away this week, so we want to pray that the Lord would just comfort her heart and those there in that family, that the Lord would just be with them during this time. And this is John Haynes. I hope I got that right. Very sick. Close to death. So Brother Barclay sends that in. Let's remember that prayer request tonight as we pray. Brother Baker says he's asking that we would pray for him on Friday, this coming Friday at 12:45, October the 31st. I'm to have veins removed out of my left leg. Unless the Lord completely heals me, I want his will to be done. Thank you for your prayer. So we just want to pray for Brother Baker, that the Lord would be mindful of him. And if he has to have that surgery, we know that God works through doctors, don't we? We certainly do, Brother Gene. God bless you. Hope you're doing better. Praise the Lord, able to be in the house of the Lord. Well, it's good to be a Christian tonight, isn't it? Amen. You have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Let's stand tonight, if you will. Brother Jackie Benton, I want you to come tonight, if you would. Pray over these requests. Let's just commit these things unto the Lord and ask God to have his divine will in every situation. We sure appreciate this guy right here, don't we? Amen. Praise the Lord.
Let's pray. Join our hearts together tonight as we pray. And we know that God is, he's the supreme being. Amen. He has all power. Nothing is impossible to those that believe. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for a privilege that we have to come once more, Lord, to be able to assemble in the house of God. Hallelujah, Lord, and know where, Lord, we can find bread tonight, Lord, and healing. We know God tonight is our children's bread, Lord, and we ask you, Father, that you'll come tonight. Minister, O God, to these needs, Lord. Thou knowest, Lord, every heart, Lord. You know every need, Father, tonight, Lord, that's been mentioned. And every hand, O God, that's been raised, Father. I ask you, dear God, that you'll come, Lord. And Lord, show yourself tonight, Lord, as being the same yesterday, today, and forever. Grant it, Father, we pray. We commit all of these into your hands, Father. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless, Lord, in the furtherance of the service. May everything that goes forth, let it be for the kingdom of God, for the upbuilding, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord, of thy kingdom. We ask you, Lord Jesus, tonight, be, Lord, with the messenger tonight, Lord, as it stands, to bring forth the word of God. Lord, we know, Lord, that it's not, Lord, man's words. It's thus saith the Lord. And when they stand here under the anointing of God, with thus saith the Lord, it's the same as God speaking to us tonight. We love you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, and we commit all of these in your hands to thy glory in Jesus Christ's name. And amen. and amen. God bless you.
God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're a visitor here in the service tonight, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming this service tonight, we pray it'll be a great blessing to those folks as well. So we're going to have a good time here tonight in the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. You believe that with all your heart. Let's sing a song tonight. There was a prophet one time in the Bible by the name of Elisha. He come by a place and he said, "Bake me a cake." She said, "I've got two sticks. I've got just enough oil in the cruise. Me and my son's going to bake it. We're going to eat it. That's all we've got. We'll probably die." He said, that's all well and good, but you bake me a cake first. I'm persuaded of this. We'll bake God a cake first. Everything else will take care of itself. You believe that with all your heart? She lived many days, her and her household, on what God provided for. All is well, little bride. You believe that and hold on to it with all your heart. All is well. God's got it all fixed. He's got it all in control. He's not nervous. He's not excited. He's got it all in control. Give Him one more hand clap of praise. You love Him with all your heart tonight. Hallelujah. Yes, all is well. All is well. Elisha, the Shunammite woman and her son. Woman found favor with God, and He gave her a son. While working in the field, little boy had died. The woman's faith never failed. If we'll trust, we're gonna find all is well. Yes, all is well. Yes, all is well.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I feel like praising Him. Church, I feel like praising Him.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated tonight, Sister Tamika. She has a song. If she would come and give us a song tonight, we certainly appreciate Sister Tamika, don't we? Amen. Amen. Give her a nice hand as she comes to sing for you tonight. May God bless her singer. Let's sing just a little bit more of that while she's making her way up to the platform. I feel like praising Him. Well, I feel like praising Him. Oh, praise Him in the morning. Praise Him all day long. I feel like praising Him.
He brought me to His banqueting table. His banner over me is love. He brought me to His banqueting table. His banner over me is love. He brought me to His banqueting table. His banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. He says straight paths before my feet, His banner over me is love. Well, He set straight paths before my feet, His banner over me is love. He set straight paths before my feet, His banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. Now Jesus is the rock of my salvation. His banner over me is love. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. His banner over me is love. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. His banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. Now he is divine, and we are the branches. His banner over me is love. Jesus is the vine, and we are his branches. His banner over me is love. Jesus is the vine, and we're his branches. His banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. Now I am my beloved, and he is mine. His banner over me is love. I am my beloved, and he is mine. His banner over me is love. I am my beloved, and he is mine. His banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. Well, he brought me to this banqueting table. His banner over me is love. He brought me to this banqueting table. His banner over me is love. He brought me to his banqueting table. His banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. His banner over me is love.
Thank you, Sister Tamika. That's wonderful, isn't it?
Amen.
What a proud banner he's displayed over his bride. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 30, if you would, tonight, verse 25. Lives of the prophets. Jacob. What a man he was, huh? The more I study on these prophets, the more I realize how great it was that God could accomplish out of their lives what he did. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go unto mine own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done thee. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. And that's a real reason for you not to leave, isn't it? And he said, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful tonight, Lord Jesus, for these great characters that we know them, Lord, by name. We know them by stories. We know them by hearing them preached over the years. But how grateful we are that even the lives of these people that we think we have known so well, you have the ability of opening up things about them that we never saw before. And truly, if it's you doing it, then it'll be in season with what we have need of. We ask, dear God, that you'd speak to us tonight from your word. May this be a heavenly time together in Christ Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. at the close of 14 years of service, Jacob materially is as poor as he was when he first came to Haran. He served 7 years for Rachel, wound up getting Leah. Then he served 7 more years for Rachel, which he should have got first, if that makes sense. So now he's at the end of 14 years. And he comes to his father-in-law and tells him, I want to go home. I want to leave. I want to go back to my country where I'm from. Verse 26, he says, give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done unto thee. Now remember, he's met his match in old Whitey. Old Whitey. I'll let you ponder on that, what it means. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience. For 14 years he'd been watching now, how that whatever he committed under Jacob's care, that something supernaturally moved on it. He knew it wasn't just the grain, it wasn't the water, it wasn't the sunshine, but he had enough about him to attribute it to the Lord. Now, Laban knew about the Lord, but he didn't know the Lord, and there's a great difference. Laban, we're actually taught, was a soothsayer. He was a diviner. And this is why whenever Rachel stole his gods, he got all upset. I'm sure glad somebody can't steal mine. I'll tell you one thing, that'd be a puny god if somebody could pack him off, wouldn't it? Now, but Laban realizes that Jacob's God is doing things for him that his gods don't do back for Laban. So according to a couple of historians that I found, Jarkai and also Aben Ezra, Laban was a diviner and a soothsayer. And by the teraphim, which is an idol that was made on a similar image of a human being, a man, he had in his house, in Genesis 31:19, he divined and knew thereby that he was blessed for the sake of Jacob. So his selfish uncle, when Jacob mentions separation, he don't like the thought of that at all. Now he doesn't mention, I'll miss my daughter so much, and all of my grandsons and my grandchildren, I'll miss them so much. And Jacob, I love you so much. But he mentions what he'll miss. I think we go to church with a few folks like that. The only thing they love you about is the size of your wallet and how much you give them. But you realize that's not real love, is it? And he said, appoint me thy wages. Now watch now, Laban is a very tricky sort of a fellow. Why would he put it totally on Jacob to appoint the wages? Why would not Laban do it himself? Now, there might be a possibility that if Laban would set forth this certain amount, it might be a lot higher than Jacob in his modesty would set forth. So he says, you appoint me your wages. Now, we're talking about a very slick individual whenever he'll do it this way. Now, he knows by his dealings with Jacob thus far, and he knows himself, that Jacob will be more honest and more modest than Laban. Now, you know what? If Jacob wants to work, we'll say for $7 an hour, why offer him 8.5? If he'll agree to $5 an hour, why offer him 15? That'll make 10 more for Laban. So the secret, though, of Jacob being able to submit to all of this was he wasn't just doing it unto Laban, but he felt like somehow he was doing it unto God. I wonder if it wouldn't make us better people for our preaching, our singing, driving nails, painting walls, making pies, crawling underneath the car and replacing our power brakes, if we realize we're not just doing it for so much an hour, but this is what God called us to be. I wonder if it would make everything we do in life make it easier to do and more accomplished. Now watch out. He puts it in onto Jacob now. Now Jacob speaks up in verse 32. He said, I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. Now watch. He knows this is a very rare thing for it to happen. Now this is similar to a piebald deer. This is similar to something that will happen in nature, of something that will be a strange color or something that is an albino. Now, among the sheep, among the cattle, it was something very, very rare. So now Laban hears it, and he ponders over it, and he thinks about it, and he says, that sounds fair to me. That sounds really fair, because Laban knew his flocks. He knew his herds, and he knew there wasn't hardly any of these among the herds. Now, if there would have been a great majority, Laban would have said, no, 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 that's not fair. There's no way I'm going to go that way. But he knew right off that there wasn't hardly any that was ring-streaked or brown or spotted or speckled. So he says, I agree. Totally. Wonderful. I mean, are you sure this is enough? And the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and the speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come from my hire before thy face, every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, they shall be counted stolen with me. Now this sounds fair, does it not? So then, yeah, I'll take the spotted and the speckled, and you will have the white, and you will have the solid brown and the solid black. I will only take those that are spotted and speckled and ring straight and have mottled colored men at all. Fine, that sounds really fine to me. But, I mean, are you sure that that's enough? That'll be my heart. Then when I get ready to leave, if you find one sheep that is white, if you find one that is black, if you find one that is like yours, I will be guilty. But if I take only that which is mine, now this is a real Christian perspective, I will take only that which is mine. I would to God every person under the sound of my voice tonight could come to a spot that you would be happy with what is yours. If God allocates to you a certain ability to sing, you accept that ability and thank God for it. You know what that would do? Totally eliminate all jealousy among us. If every preacher would just accept what God's giving and not be jealous of a man that's bigger than him, got a bigger following, a bigger church, it would eliminate all of that. It would eliminate every bit of it. Just take what God's give you and be happy about it. But you know what? It's something in the human nature. It takes a conquest by the Spirit of God in our lives to help us. Because most people always feel like they're so much more than what everybody else thinks they are. And the preacher's trying to hold them back. And the pastor won't let them do this and that and the other. Is it the pastor or is it God? Well, hallelujah. My. Now, Jacob says, so this will be my righteousness. This will be the answer by which I will answer before God, and this will be my wages. And Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to thy word. So his gleeful, happy answer lets you know that this number of people, sheep and cattle, is very, very small. Or Laban would have never been happy. And God is actually going to allow this prophet of God to be taken advantage of by a deceiver and a liar. God allows his prophets to be taken advantage of? Now watch, verse 35. And he removed that day the he-goats that were ring-straight and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and every one that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them to the hands of his sons. Now you got to be very careful when you read verse 35. Because if you're not careful, you'll think, this is Jacob doing this.
But this ain't Jacob. This is Laban. Laban agreed to give Jacob this day, this for his wages. But Laban goes in front of Jacob and goes among his flock and picks out all of Jacob's wages. Then notice what he done. He picks out all of this and then he gives them to his own sons. Watch, this is what Jacob said in verse 32. I will pass through all the flock today, removing thence all the speckled, the spotted cattle. And then verse 35, and he removed that day. So if you stick with only the personal pronoun he, it would seem as if it was Jacob, but the key is verse 36. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob. So the he is not Jacob, the he is Laban. So Jacob agrees to the brown, he agrees to the ring straight, to the spotted, to all of that, and then Laban goes out a mile before Jacob ever gets a chance to go get his wages and collect them. Laban goes out and gets them, and he puts his sons over them and puts 3 days' journey, 3 days' journey between this flock and Laban's flock, which Jacob is going to be in charge of. Which is all white. So Jacob starts out flat broke again. But you know what? You can put a blessed seed of God on a flat rock, and God can make a tree grow out of that rock. Amen. I'd rather have the blessing of God than all the cheating and the conniving that you can come up with a brilliant mind. Now Jacob starts his service now for Laban again. Instead of giving him all of this that he's worked for, so he starts out on this new commission, as it were, and he's going to be here now for 6 or 7 more years, and he starts out totally broke. He's got 2 wives, he's got all these children, but he has absolutely nothing other than that to show for all of these years of wages. And Laban takes it and puts these other sons over here of his away from where Jacob is. He said, I don't want him, I know how he is. He'll sneak in them rings straight and them spotted. So I'm going to make sure when he leaves me, he's flat broke. How's he going to get ring straight goats and cattle out of all white? So you move all of them away. 3 days' journey, which is about 75 miles. So you put them away from all this. So all you got, every seed will bring forth of its own kind. So Jacob thought, this is great. This is great. I'll have all white. I'll have all black. Unless, of course, there would be a way that you could figure out how to put a birthmark on them. You see, this is one difference between the bride and just message followers. When the bride, glory, when the bride come to Christ the Word and conceived, there was something put before her eyes that marked all of her offspring. Oh, glory! Message folks, they just see this or that or the other, and my, they go this way and that way. They're in today and out tomorrow. Next month, you don't know where they are. But the real bride has got something set before her eyes. That's why no matter what comes or goes, trials, tests, sickness, distress, whatever it is, she's got that focus right on there, because when she conceived of Christ the Word, it put a birthmark on her by the power of the cross. That's why she don't see a man. When the bride hears the tape, she don't hear the voice of the Kentuckian. She hears a message of the end time from the presence of God. So verse 37, Jacob does something very peculiar and very strange. Jacob took him rods of green poplar. Now actually, the poplar tree here that was spoke of was actually a white poplar. And the word green is not green in color, but life. So you cut the branch off the tree, and it still has the life in it. And then while it has life in it, You peel the bark around at angles like this, and then you lay it in the water. Now, Laban's name means white. So you're going to smoke Whitey with the white. So you peel the bark around the popper. What does it reveal? White stripes. Lord! And Jacob took him rods of green poplar and of the hazel and chestnut tree and peeled Laban stripes in them. Now watch. So white is going to be used to take from Whitey. So if I was you, I'd be real careful in trying to cheat the bride, Whitey. You try to run the bride down, you try to cause the bride trouble. I'd be real careful if I was you. We looked at it this past weekend for those who tried to lay a snare for Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. My, my, you might ought to salt and pepper yourself if you're going to try to run down this message, because you may wind up in the belly of a big old fat lion. So you can't fool with God's people. He'll let it go for a while and let it go for a while till his wrath gets full, and then God have mercy on you when he does. So Laban has cheated. He has shortchanged Jacob. But now remember, he tells us later that an angel of God appeared to him and showed him this peculiar type of way in order to bless and prosper him. Now Jacob, what's going on with this prophet of God? He's being changed. No doubt Jacob, it laid in Jacob's nature to figure out a way to cheat the man. But it shows that Jacob is being changed by the Spirit of God. And Jacob is not relying on his own wit. You might as well say amen to this statement, that there's still an element in our human nature that is unredeemed. Some of you are witty, but that can be used against you in an evil way. Some of you are conniving. That can be used against you in an evil way. But it's a miracle when a person that has a conniving wit can be surrendered into the presence of God. And an angel of God will show you something totally contrary to your conniving wit. Glory. Hallelujah. So God sends an angel to Jacob and he has this dream. So notice what he does. So he peels around on the poplar and on the chestnut and on the hazelnut. Now he sets the Laban rods down in the water trough. Verse 38. And he set the rods which he had peeled before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs. When the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. So putting these things around it, and then whenever he had come, when they were in the time of multiplication, he would put them inside of there, but he only put it before the strong ones. I'm glad I can see the white stripes. A lot of other folks look into the water and troughs and they don't see the stripes. You know why? Because the master didn't put them in front of them. What's Jacob doing? Selective breeding. In other words, predestination. Jacob is using selective breeding. Don't you understand? That's what God done. God used selective breeding before the foundation of the world and chose you in him when there wasn't even a devil. When there was no time, God chose selective breeding of his word. Now this is an absolute proven fact, especially in multiplication of sheep. In the case of sheep, whatever they fix their attention on in copulation is marked upon their young. So to hear, he sees this in a dream. And he sees these branches laying there with these white things peeled around them. And he lays them in and he sees them come as they come to mate. And whenever they would mate, it put a birthmark. I'm glad I got a birthmark. It shows I was born. I didn't join this message. None of you all brought me in, so therefore none of y'all can get me out. Amen. No, nobody brought me in this message. I was born into this message. I got a birthmark on my soul. I said, I got a birthmark on my soul. What, where did I get it at? From looking at the white stripes. Glory! Looking at the stripes of the back of my Lord Jesus Christ, which washed me whiter than snow. Don't you see folks that are actually born under a denominational thing? Don't you see why you can't hardly ever get them out of it? Why? Because whenever they was copulated and born underneath that, it put birth, that birthmark of denominational in them, they may come to the message forever so long. But if they were born under that, you'll never get it out of them. Why? It birthmarked our soul. Oh, my. Hallelujah. So he set the rods and he appealed before the fox and the gutters and the watering troughs. When the flocks came to drink, they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods. Wow. So the flocks actually conceived before the rods. That's a good place to conceive. Before the rods. Remember, it was Aaron's rod that was cut down one time and placed in there to identify who was really chosen of God. What did it do? It brought forth almonds and leaves and budded, come out of the presence of God. What was it? Conception before the rod. You see, there's no way a man could orchestrate the cycle of all of these sheep. They would breed, of course, twice a year. That was in the spring and the fall. There's no way a man could orchestrate this. But God is now moving in nature. Why? It's time for Jacob in the last pull of his years. In the first pull of his years, he labored for a wife. The second pull of his years, he labored for a wife. But the last pull of his years, he is going to labor for fruition and maturity and ready to leave out of there on a harvest cycle. Oh, hallelujah! We have labored under doctrine. We have labored under all kinds of things. But what's the ministry laboring for now? To get you ready to leave this world. Father, hallelujah!
Thank you, Lord Jesus. And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle ring-streaked, speckled, and spotted. And you imagine Laban and his sons coming around looking at that. How did that happen? We must have overlooked one or two. This should not be happening. Every seed should bring forth after its own kind. Did you boys let some of them? No, Daddy. No, I'm telling you. You let some of them come back. No, Daddy, I'm telling you. We're 75 miles down the road. Birthmarks. The devil thought he had me a birthmark. Boy, he had my flesh marked. But God had my soul identified with him. Hallelujah. This not ought be. This shouldn't be. You get a white sheep male ram and you get a white female and yet they bring forth a ring streak, a spotted. They bring forth my. They look at us and say, you bunch of holy rulers, you had every good making a real good dry message believer. It was the rods in the water. That's what done it to me. And when I went to drink, oh my, I saw the white of the rod and something got a hold of me and it set a birthmark on my soul. That's why I can't be satisfied with just going to church. I gotta know Him. I said, I gotta know Him. Watch in verse 40 now. This is not cheating. This is not robbing. This is a man submitted to God. And watch God do it supernaturally. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring streaked. So what you do is get these birthmarks started in the flock, the church. I mean the flock. And then you keep them before the rest of them. You see, it depends on who you're going to look at. You want to pick out hypocrites and look at this church, you can find them.
You want to pick out hypocrites and keep your eyes on them and the message, you can find them. But I want to put before you the ring strake, the spotted. I want to put before you real, genuine Christians that are filled with the Holy Ghost. Do we have folks that come here to church that are not really born again? Absolutely. Do we have folks that come here that don't believe this message? Absolutely. But that's not what I'm going to put before you. I'm going to put before you those that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Those that have been filled with the Holy Ghost. Those who have their names on the Lamb's book of life. And what will it do? It'll get a hold of you if you want life. So here start coming some ring straight brothers. Amen. Glory. And brown sisters. Speckled lambs and all kinds of things. But Jacob didn't have to constantly keep peeling. But once the succession of the peel rod started, keep them living examples. Because now they, oh Lord, what was they doing? They were bearing in their skin color or their fur, their hair. They were bearing what their parents saw in the water trough. Thanks be to God for fathers that have gone before us. Thank God for Paul. Thank God for Luther. Thank God for Brother Brandon. What do we want to be, Brother Dow? We want to be in our flesh the very image of what they preach. Brother, sister, when this message is made for us, we don't have to keep peeling the rods and putting them in the water, but we can put the ring straight before the people. Put the spotted before the people. So you start having ring straight, spotted, speckled. Then let them all start going to church together. Feeding together. And before you know it, they're having such an effect on the others. Oh, glory. Now watch this. He set the faces of the flocks toward the ring straight. And all the brown in the flock was Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves. God's word calls for a total separation. Don't it? So you put them before them for an element of time till they go to reproducing, and then you start pulling out your flock. Ooh, I wish somebody preached with me tonight. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, did Jacob lay the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. Amen. But when the cattle were feeble, you a Christian? I'm a Baptist. You got the Holy Ghost? Holy what? I shook the preacher's hand. He put my name on the book. Whenever they'd come up, he'd take the rods out. Did you resign it? God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Then when the strong cattle come up. You lay the rod back down. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. What was it? Selective breeding. Selective breeding. Oh, hallelujah to God. Don't you see why God is sure there will be a church? Because He used selective breeding before the foundation of the world. So when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler cattle were Laodiceans.
You're going in the rapture.
He preaches hard, don't he?
I'm out of here, me.
But the stronger cattle said, move over. I need a little elbow room here.
Woo!
Said, man, he preaches hard. Yeah, the reason he's preaching hard, because I need it. Because I want to move up. Preach it, man of God. Preach it, man of God. Stronger cattle.
But the weak ones come in about once a week or once every 2 weeks. Man, I made it to church. I wish Brother Donnie wouldn't sweat and spit. And man, the guy, he's a good guy. He's sincere. I mean, I really believe the guy's sincere. But he looks almost idiotic sometimes. Poor fella. I mean, he's just, I wish he'd let me help him. Really? Ooh. And how long have you been preaching? How big of a church do you pastor?
But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feeble cattle were denominationals. And the stronger were God's. So 7 years goes by for a wife. 7 years goes by for a wife. 6 more years, the number 6 labor of man is now going to go by. And now God is going to pay Jacob overtime. Consider it back pay with interest. Well, you say the children of Israel, they left the land of Egypt. They robbed and they stole. No, they never stole. They never robbed them Egyptians. It was back pay with interest. They'd lived down there for all them hundreds of years, and they're taking their social security checks with them on their way out. Because they're going to have to build a temple after a while, and they needed some gold and some silver and some bronze and some brass, and God was making sure they had it. Yeah. And you imagine Laban as he comes out and he rides by his flock and says, where did them holy rollers come from?
Because all them white sheep was just acting so nice and so courteous, and them black ones, meh, meh, and them little mottled ones, yeah, glory, hallelujah, whoa, glory to God, hey. Laban said, oh boy, you can tell they go to Jacob's church. They don't belong to my church. I'm glad we've got some of them here at our church.
I'm glad we got some that still love to praise God. I'm glad we've got some that still love to feel the Holy Ghost. I'm glad we've got some. Let us be called ring straight. Let us be called spotted and speckled by lot. Let that fine with me. We've got life. We got our copulation. We got our birthmark. Hallelujah. When we were conceived by looking at the Word.
Whether or not you like it, Laban, your little quiet, meek, white lamb, your little white sheepy, was my mother. I come out of that when I come to the message. I come out of them, no shouting, no jumping, no this and that and the other. I was born. I was born out of that, but I didn't come out white. I come out ring straight. I'm probably one of the strangest looking sheep God's got. I'm probably mottled over here, ring straight across the nose. I'm speckled and spotted and cross-eyed and look like a zebra crossed with a possum and who knows what else. But all I know is I'm so happy. I'm so happy. My Father has given me a birth by this Word, and I've looked into the rods where the water was laying, and I saw life. And I want to bear it in my flesh. I want the stripes from the rods to be so visible in my life.
Verse 43, and the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle, maid servants and men servants, and camels and asses.
And he ain't stealing them either. I said, he ain't stealing them. This is totally God's doing. You understand? But you know what? Things are fixing to change. Now, I want you to notice the sequence of events and the supernatural, how they parallel to the natural. when God gets ready for an exodus to his elect. Genesis chapter 31 verse 1. And he heard the words of Laban's son saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's. And all of that which was our father's, he has gotten all of his glory. Which is a lie. Jacob never took it away. Right? Now I want you to notice how things begin to work. So the first thing that Jacob comes in contact with is the words of Laban's sons. Verse 2. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban. Now Laban's sons are doing the talking. Laban isn't saying anything verbally. He's saying it with his looks. So the words of Laban's sons begin to come back to Jacob's ears. Now what is it? Press. The press is starting to move against Jacob. What is it? Going home to... Oh Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't you understand that the press had to come against Jacob to get him to hunger and to go back home? Verse 1, the sons of Laban's words. Verse 2, and Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. Not favorable. Not manifested a pleasing countenance. Now you know the countenance can speak volumes. Watch this in Genesis 4 or 5. Unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect, speaking of God. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. So here in the countenance of Cain is the expression of displeasure because of his brother being accepted before God and he was rejected. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance falling? So the countenance can exhibit displeasure or it can exhibit pleasure. His banner over me is love. Watch this in Numbers 6:25. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Proverbs 15:13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. Daniel 5:5. We looked at this weekend. In the same hour came forth the fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote, and the king's countenance was changed. Was changed. Matthew 6:16, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. So the face, glory, the face, the countenance expresses so much without one word being said. Some of y'all don't have to say you don't like what I'm preaching. It's written all over your face sometimes. Ain't that right, preacher brothers? Don't we run into it everywhere we go? People sit right there and never say one word. But you can look at that look on their face and they want you to know they don't like what you're saying. They want you to know it. They want you to know that this is displeasure. They don't like this or that or the other. And they sit there. Can you imagine sitting there in the presence of Almighty God and you projecting an attitude like that? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Even if I disagree with a man, I'm going to honor that anointing that he's preaching under. Because I recognize that's God. That's God anointing that man. No, friend, we need to be so careful in our countenance expression. Verse 1, Laban's son's words. Verse 2, Laban's countenance. Verse 3, and the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers. Pressure, pressure, rapture. Glory! Pressure from Laban's son, them gossiping about him and talking about him, telling things that wasn't true, and Laban.
been looking at him on an old sourpuss looking face. I don't like that no more. I don't like this. And God said, you know what, Jacob? I've had just about all of this I can stand. I've had just about all of this I can stand. I think it's time for you to come back to the land of your fathers. Oh, children, that's what we're longing to hear when the Lord Jesus will say, come on, children, it's time to come back to the land of your fathers. Your father Abraham, your father Isaac, your father Jacob.
So you know what, children, the way I look at it is this. If I've got to hear Laban's sons talking about me, running me down, if Laban's got to look at me with a displeasing countenance in order for me to have verse 3, so be it. Glory.
Why did not God say this first? Isn't it amazing that God would wait to verse 3?
How many times does God wait till verse 3 in our lives? How many's been in your life to verse 3 or verse 33 or verse 333 before God said anything? Laban's son said this, and Laban said this, and Laban's wife said that, and the mayor said this, and the judge said that, and somebody else said that, and he said, Lord, why'd you say that? He's waiting his turn. He's waiting his turn. He knows exactly when you need it. Sometimes he might show up at 3. Sometimes he might show up at 5. Sometimes he might show up at 70. But he's always on time, because he's an on time God, right on time. So Laban's son started talking and saying all kinds of things. God's totally silent. Jacob come in and sat down and eat. How are you, Laban? Boy, my mom and daddy's given me that evil eye many a time. Now, I'm not going to stand here tonight and tell you little children that I was a perfect little angel when I was a child. Because preachers ain't supposed to lie. I had a mean streak in me. Yeah, I did. Me and Harry one night, my cousin, we was laying out there on the road. I don't know where that mean streak come from. It's probably Harry's idea. Probably wasn't mine, but somebody come up with the idea that we was going to lay in the ditches after dark, and when cars come through, we was going to rock them. Dear God, I've rent my ministry. So here they'd come down through, then we'd all get ready. About the time a car would come by, we'd, man, pile them rocks, brake lights going, people saw, hey, yeah! We'd take off running, just laughing. I'm not sure why, but now I realize none of y'all ever did anything like that. See, I needed the blood of Jesus more than y'all did. Aren't you glad for God's mercy to you? But somehow in our calculations, we forgot to calculate you need to get far enough away from home. So when you do that, then it'll come back to daddy's door. We just went about 100 foot down the road. I would never make a good criminal. By the time my mama and daddy looked at me with them eyes, and my daddy used that hand on me that looked like the side of a big Yorkshire hog. Ham. His looks kill me enough. Because he'd set you down and look at you first. I'm just wilting like butter. I'm just... You know what I'm talking about, what looks can do.
Laban's son's words, God don't say nothing. Laban's looks, God don't say nothing.
And it finally built up to a spot where God said, you know what? It's time for you to come home. Yes, we've prayed for years for the rapture to come. The sequence of events is moving in that way. And they'll say, no, Lord, I was only teasing. I'm not teasing. I'm serious. If I need verse 1 and verse 2 to manifest verse 3, God, give me strength. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return to the land of thy fathers. You realize he could never say return if he hadn't been there before. Now you see, when the Lord calls for the rapture, the rapture is the return for those who've been there. Can't go in the return call. They'll go in the call of whosoever will, let him come. The rapture is the return call for those that were in his mind before the foundation of the world. Come on back to Father's house. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers. And to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. That's what I long for. You talk about grace. Do you realize there is not one speck of history, nor one scripture, that says Jacob ever built an altar the whole time he was in Haran? God is not calling for the return based upon Jacob's faithfulness. Jacob was not a great, solid type of believer. Never built one altar the whole time he's there. Amazing grace. It mentions nothing about him worshiping. It mentions nothing about him calling on the name of the God of Bethel. The Almighty God. It mentions nothing about his spirituality. It's amazing. I was looking at this week and I just thought it was so overwhelming. The sequence of events of verses 1 through 4. Watch this now in verse 4. Laban's sons, he begins to hear their words. Verse 2, he sees Laban's countenance. Verse 3, he hears the voice of God. And verse 4, Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock. Now why didn't he just set his foot down? We're going to home and I don't care what you women say, you get in your place or I'll mash your mouth. Notice the sequence of events. This is a man that had learned how God, finally he had learned when God moves in a man. Some of you men want to be spiritual. And you don't even take care of things around your home. What if God judges you, brothers? And will give you spiritually by the way you take care of things around your house. Your wife, your children, taking your garbage out. Just things that you all think are not heroic deeds. Brother Donnie, you take the garbage out? I do. I wash dishes and drive. So I get to spend more time with my wife. Oh no, oh no, Brother Donnie washes dishes. Not only that, Brother Collins told me the first time he ever met Brother Branham, he walked in the house and Brother Branham was standing there with an apron on washing dishes. Elijah with an apron on. So if Elijah could wear an apron, I reckon I could if I had one. But you see, the mentality of this day is that's not what men think's important. I wonder if God's looking at you by the way you look at that. Well, glory. Come on now, children. Don't get quiet on me. Why in the world would Jacob go from God to his wives? He's going come what may. But it sure make it a lot nicer if they was going willing. Can you imagine a man finding, look brothers, do we want to go to heaven? Do we not going to go by making our children go? Making our wives go? What does Jacob do? Talks with them. Explains what's happened. Would you like to hear a little more of it? Verse 5. And he said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before, but the God of my father has been with me. And you know that with all my power, I have served your father. And your father hath deceived me. Now you know how it feels. Now this is quite a saying for a deceiver, isn't it? I, the supplanter, have been supplanted. I, the deceiver, have been deceived. Your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. Lord, sounds like a bunch of politicians, don't it? Can you imagine 10 times he changed his wages? So Jacob said the ring straight. Laban said, no, you ain't getting the ring straight. I'll take the ring straight. Well, I'll take the spotted. No, you ain't getting the spotted. I'll get the spotted. Well, I'll take whatever's left. No, you ain't getting the ones on the left. You're getting the ones on the right. And there ain't none on the right. Now, he's got to make this convincing. So he might have dramatized it a little bit. Your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me. And if he said, thus the speckle shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said, thus the ring strake shall be thy hire, then all the cattle ring strake. Poor old Laban just got to go out from week to week to figure out how to change his compensation. Ain't he? Man, he's going, his wits, he said, what in the world? Who am I working against, God? Those of you that are trying to down this message and run this prophet of God down, when are you ever going to realize you ain't fighting Donnie Reagan, you ain't fighting William Branham, you're fighting the Almighty God himself? You want to come against this bride? You ain't fighting a bunch of Tennessee folks or Georgia folks or Kentucky folks. We are the apple of his eye. So Laban isn't now dealing with Jacob. He's dealing with God. Verse 9, thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived, I lifted up my eyes and I saw in a dream. And behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring-straight, speckled, and gristled. And the angel of God spake unto me a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here am I. If you look at this in the Hebrew, it's literally the angel of Elohim. It was not an angel from God. It was the angel of God. Hallelujah. It was the angel of Elohim when he started creating himself towards flesh. Remember, he made himself a theophany body before he ever went to flesh, right? Which is Christ. He made your theophany body is there as well, but you bypassed it. But my brother, sister, whenever he made himself known, just as sure as he appeared in a theophany, all the sons of God, the sons of Christ the Word, will also get their theophany just as well. This is not a created angel. This is the eternal one. Christ. Glory. This is the mystery of God revealed. Christ. And the angel calls him by name. Glory. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring straight, speckled and gristle. For I have seen all that Laban do us unto thee. Let me tell you, he sees what your children do, what your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, your boss, the people you work with, whoever it is that oppresses you, he sees. He's seen for all these years what was going on. How come he waited till now? Now's his time. It's Jacob's time to go home. Now going home time brings a further revelation of the inside of God. Amen. How come he didn't appear back there in the name of Elohim at the first 7 years? It wasn't time. How come he didn't appear at the second 7 years? It wasn't time. When did he appear and make himself known when he comes in the harvest cycle. Then the angel of Elohim comes down and begins to speak the harvest time. And church, oh hallelujah to God. Why the church will not go through a tribulation period. And kinsman redeemer, what was it? The angel of God coming down once again, making the promises known to Ruth to get her ready for a body change. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, you say, how could you say that was the angel of God? Easy. I read verse 13. I am the God of Bethel. An angel from the Lord can't say that. There's only one person that can say that. Amen. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, where thou vowedest a vow unto me. Now arise. Come away, my love. Come away. Get thee out from this land and return unto the land of thy kindred. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen. Listen. The God of Bethel, or Bethel, whichever you want to pronounce it, is the God of promise. He takes delight in fulfilling His word. Why would He wait for all these years, 20 years, before He remembers that perfect promise? Amen. Now's the season. Amen. It was the time. Yes. Jacob, arise. Amen. And come home. Amen. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. This is the same angel that appeared to him when he saw the ladder that was hooked around the throne of God and finally hooked down on the Son of God on the earth. And I'd like to let the devil know tonight, once the real seed of God get on that ladder, he saw a gate, remember? He called it the gate of heaven. Once the real seed of God come through that gate and get on the ladder, the gate's shut behind them. They can't get out. They don't want out no way. Brother, you talking about eternal security? The bride's got it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight, Lord. I realize these things aren't deep. They may not be profound and all that. But yet, Lord, they've ministered to our hearts tonight. Help us, Lord Jesus, to take courage. You know what? Every child of God here in this building and those that are streaming the service and those that will hear it, you know what they're going through. Just like you told Jacob that day. I know what Laban has done to you. Oh, Jesus, take notice, Father. Take notice. You know what the world tries to do to us. Verse 1, verse 2 must lead up to verse 3. And Lord, we don't want to go alone, but we want to take our wives, our children, our grandchildren, whoever that we can take with us. So, Lord, we don't want to be so selfish on our own that we just think about us. But Lord, we want to walk into verse 4. Because I believe if we really meet verse 3 in reality, verse 4 will come out of our lives. Oh God, help us. Help us, Lord Jesus. May we gather Rachel, may we gather Leah, may we gather our children, our wives, and say, it's time for us to get ready. It's time for us to get ready. Get things out of our lives. Hallelujah. Oh, grant it, Lord. We love you, dear God. Thank you tonight for your presence, Lord. Thank you. We love you so much, sweet Jesus. Lord, I pray that your great anointing would just come and not just anoint us when we're in service. Not just anoint us when we're hearing the word. Lord, lift our spirits and when we're singing, we clap our hands. But anoint us to manifest this word. May the birthmarks of Calvary be so on our lives that we be representatives of the peel stripes on your back. Oh, Lord God, it wasn't a poplar tree that they peeled, but it was the man tree Christ Jesus. It was the man tree that had stripes peeled in his back. Some only look at it and see a tradition. They look and see a picture. That's all they see. But we see the living Word, our husband. We don't just see a Savior. We see our husband. That's because the sticks have been peeled before us, Lord God, and you've allowed us to see. So it's not that we're good on our own. It's not that we're better than others. Somehow the grace of God has given us the strength of the hour. Then whenever we come up to drink, the popper sticks, as it were laying in the troughs. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I know from my own mother, when she was carrying Harry, they lived in a very poor place. The big old rat ran across mama's feet. They put a birthmark on Harry, and he still got it in his back to this day. So it was an event, something that happened. That's why we can't leave. But people come and go, do what they will. We're marked forever. We've got a soul birthmark. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. We rejoice in your presence tonight, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, don't you love him, children? Let's just raise our hands in the presence of the God of Bethel. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's just as mindful of what Laban's doing to you as well. People you work with, people on your job, your boss, whoever it is. He's mindful. He hasn't forgotten you. Did he remain silent with Jacob for a while? No doubt he must have. Moses doesn't write of anything that God had said to him like this. Now he's coming up to this time after 20 years of bitter persecution and difficulty. Now God tells him, I'm the God of Bethel. Hallelujah. Oh, may he whisper in our ears tonight, I am the God of the rapture. I am the God of the resurrection. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It is the rising of the sun. Lord, as we looked at Daniel Sunday, how that they throwed him in the den and then they took the king's ring and put a seal on the rock. And they thought they'd sealed him unto death. But the pillar of fire come down. Hallelujah to God. Daniel said as he felt that chill come over him and his face quiver and his flesh. And then when that passed him, he looked over in the corner and there stood the Son of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus, they put their seal upon you in that tomb. And they thought death had swallowed you up. Hallelujah. But you would break that Roman seal. You would break the seal of death. Hallelujah. You didn't come out of there by yourself. But when you come out, I come out with you. I died with you at Calvary. Somehow you made me pay for my sins. In that body, when you raise from the dead, I'll raise with you. Thank you, Lord. And I'm alive tonight in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm preaching. I'm witnessing to your people. I'm trying to encourage them. Lord, trying to counsel them. Trying to do everything I can to help them. Lord, I'm not just doing it unto them, but I'm like Jacob. I'm doing it unto you. I'm doing it unto you, Lord. I'm taking care of your flock. I'm doing everything I know to do, Lord. Giving all my strength, every service when I preach. Giving all my might when I study. Before long, you'll take me home. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll all get to go home together. Lord, we're waiting for that hour when you hear the voice say, come on back to the land of your fathers. Return. Return. Hallelujah. Glory to God. As Solomon said to the Shulamite, return, O Shulamite, return. And we know that Shulamite is Finnish for Solomon. Hallelujah. Oh, take us away, Lord Jesus. Every day we live in this world, every week it gets worse. Politics is worse. Murder, death, disease, pestilence, plagues. People can't make ends meet. The Lord, the economy is awful. So much trouble everywhere. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You love him, children, with all your heart. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, my. When the Lord looks at me, I don't want him to look at me with anger, but with frustration, aggravation.
but I want his countenance to be pleasant. Don't you? When he looks at us, Brother Darrell, and we walk before him that day, and he says, well done. Well done. Well done. Praise God. You've been faithful over a few things. Enter into the joys of the Lord, which were prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just worship him a little bit. I know you children's got school and all that sort of thing. I try to be mindful of it on Wednesday night, but oh, when he comes so near and so close, I hate to rush it too. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Brother, can we sing, Going Home? Going home, yes, we're going home, for there's nothing to hold me here. Oh, I caught a glimpse of that. Can we take it up a step? Oh, thank God. Jacob could tell his family, we're going home. Let's sing it together. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, I'm going home. I'm going home. For there's nothing to hold the bride. I'm the one.